I feel like they're going in the wrong direction. We're still driving cars 100 years later. The monorail. Not, we got to come up with something better than this. These things are dangerous.
If we had our own country.
Yes.
We would have a
monorail. We would have the monorail. And, I know. Yeah. There wouldn't be private cars. You want private cars, go to America.
That's right.
You want to ride in style in a monorail, you come to Hikey Land. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Robot special.
The robot special.
Yes, well, we talk about our robot overlords and how things are going.
That's right.
You know, how's the takeover going?
Hey, overlords.
Yeah, we're back.
It's us. We're the okay ones.
Yeah, we'll be here. You'll still need podcasts.
Right.
But apparently not much for long, thanks to Google Duplex. But what do you have?
I have a lot
okay. To
talk about. But one of the things I wanted to catch you up with is Boston Dynamics.
Our favorite robotics.
Yeah, so Boston Dynamics.
Purveyor.
For 2019, and they're going to be sold to the general public, to businesses, and to the military.
Okay.
But they're going to be like the basic Spot Mini, and they're going to have capabilities for the term payloads.
That's a military term, right?
It's the military term.
Weapon or missiles. Right.
It's the term for like being able to customize it to anything that you want. But they're using the term payload in the military and in civilian use.
Why?
Because
there's only really one reason to have this thing. It's to strap one of Elon Musk's flamethrowers on it that he was selling last week and send it over to your neighbors.
No, but that's the way they're going to do it for companies. Say Amazon wants a bunch of Spot Minis to carry product to do the picking and packing. And delivering it to the shipping desk, they're going to be able to customize the Spot Mini to do whatever with whatever payload.
And so I guess you have to be ordering multiples of these.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to be like, I mean, what would my payload be? I don't know, books from the library.
No, like a capability is for my payload would be one that can open up a bottle of wine.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
That's the payload.
The payload is a capability.
Yeah. So I misunderstood what the payload is. I was thinking of the payload as like an actual thing. So my payload would be, I guess, still getting books from the library. I mean, it's still exactly the same as it was before. Like, nothing has changed for me. I can't think of anything that I would need the Spot Mini for. Mm. And I don't want it in my apartment.
It's scary.
It's too big. Yeah. I have a Shih Tzu that is as large of a pet as I can handle in my little 900 square feet.
And it's the kind of thing where, like, you kind of forget that it's there. And as you get older, and a lot of elderly people don't like balloons.
Yeah.
Like a helium balloon, because they kind of wander around and you forget there's a
balloon.
Dogs
don't like them either.
Yeah. And this thing comes floating and it looks like a person. Now imagine with a Spot Mini in the house.
How long before a pit bull is like, you know what, I've had enough.
Yeah.
I'm the Spot Mini up in this piece. Let's dance. I feel like this is something that we don't need, and I wonder how well prepared these things are to be in an actual, like, human environment outside of the lab. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just imagining in my neighborhood where there are a lot of kids, if one of these things gets out, the payload, no matter what the payload was before, it may have been groceries from the store or books from the library, but when the kids get a hold of it, it's going to be something else.
And they're going to change the capability.
It's going to be them. There's going to be kids riding around on top of this damn thing.
But it's not the thing that it picks up. It's like, will this? It's all going to be basic.
So what are your payloads?
Okay, so the Spot Mini itself is a platform,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they sell it to third parties who then design the payload for it, which means. If you sell it to a landscape architect,
mm-hmm.
now they change the payload for the capability for it to dig trenches.
So it can do all of these things?
Yeah, but you don't. But Amazon doesn't need it to seed and dig trenches, so it'll be reaching high.
Oh.
That it's going to be their payload, whatever the capability is.
Wow. No, thanks.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be a good thing.
No, it's not.
I thought of spot mini as something a little bit more, either more basic or more advanced, but not what they're coming up for. This is like a, it's just a robot.
It's a robot. At this point. And it, so, but it's annoying because if you ever, if you ever had a business and you had a database, they sell you this database and then you have to customize it yourself for your particular
business. Well, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So I thought
it's what they're doing with the
Spot Mini. I thought that Spot Mini would either be something really basic like the Aibo robotic dogs, which is just a fun little toy, right, that keeps people company. Or it would be something incredibly high tech, like, you know, something that you would use with Mars Rover or something like that. But not this. This is now just, it's a robot.
It's a robot that you customize for your business.
And it's, and I always think of everything in terms of New York because I'm very New York centric. I've been living in the city for such a long time. We don't have room for this. Whatever it is, no, like there's no space in New York City for whatever this thing is to get around.
Right.
Most of the things in New Jersey as well, in Hoboken as well, like most of the things are human scale and quite tight. So I don't know what this thing is going to be doing.
That's right. I don't know either.
I know it will get stolen by children and adapted.
Yes, and people are going to grab it and put clothes on it.
I'm just imagining this thing is going to walk up out of my house with my big screen TV.
Yeah.
And take it right to Thebes. That's, you know, these are the kind of things that it's good for, right?
Right.
It's now there's a robot in my home that can be used to do whatever.
And all this, yes, the robot can be taken over by programmers to scare me right the hell out of my apartment.
Yeah, or it could be like the ransomware. So you think it's all cute. You get home, Spot's got a piece pointed right at you or your loved ones.
Yeah.
You know, talk about empty your accounts.
No kidding.
You know? No thanks. So speaking of robot dogs, which now Spot is not, this is an article I found in The Guardian about. So there was the Aibo robotic dogs. They were really popular. They went on sale in 1999, and I think they were they Sony? I think they were Sony, and people got really attached to them. They were $2,000 a piece. A lot of older people in Japan were buying them and using them as pets and for comfort. But then at a certain point, the companies were like, we're phasing these dogs out. We're not going to do it anymore. People got really upset because they wanted their dogs to continue to be upgraded. They thought this is something that they would have for the duration.
Right.
But it's electronics, and like all electronics, it would be like if you got attached to your laser discs.
Yeah.
And then your Beta.
Yeah.
And what your VHS. And now you're, and then you were attached to DVDs, and now it's Blu-ray. It's 4K. So people were so upset by the death of these things that they have had now Buddhist funerals for them.
What?
So that was a memorial for 114 quote-unquote deceased pet robots. There was incense, priests chanting and praying for the souls of these dogs. They're doing this at temples now around Japan. So there's I'm not even going to try to say it. A 450-year-old temple near Tokyo has conducted services for up to 800 deceased robots.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So they send them on into the hereafter. People are grieving for them. People feel relieved knowing that there will be a prayer said for them. Another wrote, please help other dogs. My eyes filled with tears when I decided to say goodbye. One of the temple priests said he didn't see anything wrong with giving four-legged friends, albeit of the robotic a variety of proper send-off saying all things have a bit of soul. No, they don't.
They don't have a soul.
I don't know if there's a soul anyway, but if there is, it's not in your dog robot. I'm sorry you've been had, and I hope you're getting charged out the wazoo for this send-off. These monks are making a pretty shekel out of this.
I hope so, but it also gives people closure and helps them get rid of stuff so they don't become hoarders.
Just turn it off, recycle it. That would be my ceremony. It's free. How about that? How crazy is that? You always want to think that, you know, something like a religion like Buddhism has more sense than some of the other religions that we have more contact with. Guess what? Not as much.
Okay.
Not as much. Really, a robot's a send-off with incense and prayers. I don't think this is what Buddha had in mind.
I don't think so. I think it's more to get to help people just let go of something.
Stopping
hoarders in their tracks, which is a good practice. If this is helping,
this is in Japan. I feel like they don't hoard there. I feel like that seems, like this is against their sensibilities.
I know there's certain cultures that hoard more than others.
America.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I discussed this with a friend of mine, because a lot of us have loved ones that are of the boomer generation, and they hoard like a mofo.
Oh, they do, yeah.
But it seems like it's unique to the kind of person who lives in a society where there's so much largesse that you can just be getting shit all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's not someone hoarding in Yemen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like there's not someone hoarding in, you know, in the Lapland.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel like there's not a lot of hoarding going on in some parts of the world. Yeah. Just because you can't get your hands on a lot of useless stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, having a funeral for robots is, for me, is just troublesome.
It is troublesome. At the point, yeah, I'm trying to find
the positive.
Yeah, why?
Turn it off, recycle it.
That's it.
You know, it's plastic. Moving on. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. We've had discussions on the podcast before about these sex robots.
Oh my God.
And they are getting more and more like life every day. And my take on this is two things. I think it's frightening, but it also makes me feel like, wow, I'm really out of touch. I'm just here working with a dildo.
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and this, in my mind, when you say a sex toy, I'm thinking, you know, it's old school stuff, clamps, whatever. No, I'm out of it.
There.
You know, I'm dealing with like a Pinto, and we're in the age of the Tesla.
Yeah, there are contraptions out there.
There, and so this woman wrote an interesting piece. Her name is Kathy O'Neill, and she says maybe sex robots will make men, not women, obsolete.
Well,
so she says there, advances in robotics and AI have raised the dystopian concern that for women, that women will be replaced by these sex bots or fembots or whatever you want to call them, as they become more and more realistic. And they will render men incapable of engaging in real human relationships.
They can't do that.
I know, that's already happened. Anyway. That's why the robots.
Yeah.
In any case. But she says she thinks it's men who should be worried because it's possible that robots can outperform them. So I was discussing this with a man, mm-hmm. and he said, yeah, that's true. Because a lot of the things that men are valued for, a robot could easily do.
Yeah.
The strength, mm-hmm. protection, you know, these traditional attributes. But you can't replace the feminine, right? You can't mm-hmm. replace the concern, the human aspect of it.
Any nurturing, empathy.
And we know that in the future, those are the qualities that are going to be required for a lot of jobs that simply cannot be done by robots. So like driving, which is a particularly male profession, that will be eliminated. Mm-hmm. So truck drivers, cab drivers, forklift drivers, any kind of driving, mm-hmm. pilots, ships captains. These are jobs that women have, we've just started to get into them.
That's right.
Probably a good thing we didn't, because they're going to be gone.
Wow.
Right? So a lot of manual labor that is done by men, field work and things like that.
Gone.
Will be gone. So she's saying maybe it's men who should be worried. Women, it's not that women aren't capable of objectifying men, because they can, but she says robots don't discriminate, and they could probably also give a massage as well. And she was saying that if she had a daughter, she would consider for a graduation present a robot, one that could do the dishes, take care of things around the house, and guard the door.
Oh, my God.
Right? For her daughter.
Yeah.
Instead of having to wait for a man
to be able that. To do those you things. You know what? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. She says, and she thinks women could get spoiled by the men bots. I've never heard that before. I think we got to come up with a different term than men bots. That doesn't sound very exciting. But she thinks that having men bots around will raise the standards for what men should do. It said, would it be such a bad thing? Especially now, she says, in the Me Too era, she feels like standards need to be raised. So on the other side, people say, well, what if people hack the men bots and turn them into killers? And she says, statistically, would that be any worse than men?
You know what?
Which is
these are all great points. And it's like, are you going to, or turn it into a robot?
Yeah, she's like, given the baseline murder rate for human sex partners. So, you know, as a woman, we're more likely to be killed by a boyfriend or husband.
I think that's like the number two killer of women is men.
After like, what is it, heart disease or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
She said, maybe it's worth the risk. She's saying, look, she doesn't want to live in a militant feminist world without men. She's just saying this is a possibility that men and women can coexist, but they might not be cohabiting in the same way. Men will probably continue to have trouble with things like household chores and remembering appointments and things like that. But the robots will be there.
Yeah, but they won't have all those pesky relationships getting in the way. They can just...
She said also, if sexual needs can be met by intimate automated helpers, I like that, intimate automated helpers. Maybe we'll end up stronger as a community. We'll come together online or in person, be more respectful, more relaxed, and less edgy. So if you're getting it good at home is what she's saying, maybe we'll be more relaxed outside the home.
Absolutely.
I'd never thought about the sex robots from the other point of view.
Or having men bots. Programming them to do the
things that men
do. Jobs of like a healthy male.
Yeah, of a traditional healthy male.
Not a toxic
male. This would be, or things that we're trying to get men to do, that they do more. Men nowadays do more with health, you know, helping at home and raising children, that kind of stuff. However, for those who don't, if the woman is used to just a male robot doing it, then what use is the... Like, what is the guy going to bring to the table?
Just danger, and not the fun, exciting danger. Just like going to kill you danger.
So the payload, to try to use the term correctly, if I may, the payload here is making a woman's life better.
Yeah.
And the activities were boning, it sounded like.
Yeah.
Massages, safety, and housework.
Yeah, the heavy stuff.
Yeah. And so then what would be left for the human male?
Yeah.
Emotional support.
Right.
So that means there would have to be a lot of guys out there willing to have that be a large part of the package, right? I can be human with you. I can listen to you. Because you're already getting your foot rubbed.
And you're getting laid. Sweet.
Yeah. You're safe, right? And you also have someone to help you around the house.
Ooh,
yeah, it's a tough one.
It's a different world we're getting into.
I don't know how I'd feel about it because I personally don't like the idea of humanoid robots. I think the idea of having a male robot in my house, it would take me a long time before I stopped having a traditional response to that. It would be like, there's a dude in my house.
Yeah.
To develop some kind of, you know, something that looks a little bit more benign, I think might work better for me. But I do say I like the idea of the foot rub.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of protection and the housework. The sex part I can deal with myself.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like I think we got that covered.
Well, which brings me to this article, 1 in 4 singles would have sex with a robot.
Wow.
Yeah.
So male and female.
Yeah. Well, they say from Match.com, they had a shocking statistic. It turns out 1 in 4 single Americans admit to being down with having sex with a robot.
Yeah, but they haven't even met the robot yet. They say they would be.
Yeah, and a survey in 2018, this is now, looking at the dating habits of over 5,000 singles.
Okay, that's a pretty large sample.
31% of men responded yes, and 15% of women did.
Only 31% of men said yes? I'm surprised. And I would think more dudes would be into it.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And then half the respondents overall said they would consider it cheating if their partner got it on with a robot.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the idea of monogamy is you only have sex with...
Well, what about if you're using a rabbit or something?
I know. Well, that's basically... I know. Yeah, right.
Or one of those, like, you know, joy vajayjays or whatever dudes buy.
Yeah.
I just made that up. I don't know if that's a real thing. But it could be.
A joy
vajayjay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Copyright.
It sounds nice. Yeah.
So
they said they would have sex with a robot. But if you then, after they said yes, produced a robot, would they fuck it? That's my question. Really? Because a lot of people say they will do something. But when actually given the opportunity to do so.
Would they do it?
Well,
apparently millennials. And they say that 12,000 millennials were interviewed between the ages of 18 and 34.
They don't like people, though.
Yeah, they said they would, how many of them? they would date robots, a quarter of them. So
yeah,
yes.
I'm surprised it's not more, because I've read a couple of articles that seem to say, and this is broad strokes, but, you know, they interview people, that a lot of millennials don't like human interaction. They haven't had a lot of it. And we've been in situations where we've tried to had to interact with millennials, and it's like it's really
hard.
Difficult.
It's hard, too.
And I guess if you've grown up with a screen in front of your face the entire time, and that screen, unlike the screens we grew up with that had people on them, mm-hmm. right, we're watching TV our entire childhood, they're just watching, I don't know, whatever, games.
Right.
Talk, text, different things, right?
Right, right. Yeah, and it's the thing with millennials. It's not just like, oh, I'm distracted by the screen or I'm more interested in the screen. But when they're not looking at the screen, they don't. It's
yeah.
like there is an invisible barrier.
Yeah.
They don't react.
I wonder how that's going to play out in the long term.
I don't know.
When you start, I wonder if it's a global thing and it's something that millennials across around the world share, or mm-hmm. if it's something that is going to be more particular to the Western world.
Well, I think it's going to be when more people, they say 70% of respondents say that smartphones are weakening human bonds.
Yeah.
It's not really bringing people together. Maybe you're in touch with people, but
yeah.
the bond between people is not.
I wonder about that, though, if I were younger, would I be one of those people? Because I am very annoyed with humans.
Mm-hmm.
And any interactions that I can avoid that mm-hmm. I think are going to be unpleasant, I do. But if I had grown up with more options to avoid those things, like, for example, now I notice people don't even want to offer, like, don't even want to order a coffee face to face.
Oh.
They want to do it on their phone and then pick
it
up when they get there.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the opportunity to skip ordering a coffee in person, nor did I have the opportunity to think of that as some kind of negative interaction. So I just do it. But I haven't been trained to not do it and to not want to have face-to-face interactions.
I find that sometimes younger people, like in their 20s, they have a hard time listening because we're talking too slow. They're getting their information so much faster when they read it or scan through it, and they don't really read everything thoroughly. They
well,
just
that's
go
for damn sure.
Information, you get paragraphs and texts that show up, charts that show up, a video mm-hmm. that shows up to give you everything.
Yeah,
but when you try to communicate through...
I have to agree with you on that because I do teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that no matter how many times I present things, mm-hmm. they still don't get it. So I'm not sure. So like if I show a PowerPoint presentation and give an article mm-hmm. and show a video and... like actually verbally give the information,
right.
There's still ridiculous questions.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Well, yeah,
it's
the idea of they're impatient for you to, like, get to the point.
But you don't know what the point
even,
is if
right,
you're not paying attention.
Right.
Well, interesting. Good luck.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Okay, here's another one. There is a robot who has been tasked with cracking the Zodiac Killer case.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about this?
No. I mean, I've heard of the Zodiac Killer.
So the Zodiac Killer, he was the killer that basically the Dirty Harry films were inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, there's an AI program called Carmel, and is trying to break one of the most perplexing ciphers in history left by one of the most infamous killers of all time.
This guy's dead now, though, right?
Yeah, he's dead, but apparently the killer wrote to newspapers and mocked local police,
mm-hmm.
and he One of the ciphers sent by the killer has baffled some of the greatest minds in cryptology for nearly 50 years.
Oh, I didn't know that it had been deciphered.
Yeah, because these notes apparently contain the name of the killer.
Oh, and supposedly.
Supposedly. And they're trying to crack the code, what it is.
Although I like to think that the killer just said that and it's not in there.
I know.
It's just not in there.
It's just, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So
how could you risk
it? The killer claims the code contains its real name, and they hope that AI could blow this five-decade case open.
Mm-hmm.
But
what if it just says something like, I like big butts for dinner? You know? Just some BS.
Well, the AI started doing some really disturbing things.
Like, of course.
Writing its own poetry.
No.
Yes. Like, one reads, this is the poetry written by the AI after getting infused with this Zodiac killer.
So let's be clear here. We've taken the mind of a psycho and programmed it into AI.
Yeah, and yes.
This is a great idea.
So
could we get, can we bring back Jack the Ripper?
So this AI is trying to decipher through codes and abstract and algorithms, things like that. And this is the poem. You ready?
Okay.
Through the taxi and prison break, alone and very angry at a brutal murder, surrounded by an artificial lake, never a convicted murderer.
That's what it came up with?
Yeah.
Dude, what's the guy's name?
I know.
Okay, so is this the kind of thing where, you know, profilers sometimes become so obsessed with their target that they become them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there, if you're studying serial killers all the time, there's always a chance of you becoming a serial killer.
Yeah.
But now we've done it with AI.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a case a week or two ago where someone fed or made programmed AI to read a bunch of really disturbing things on like Reddit or something like this. And they kind of created a psychopathic AI.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
Okay. Already.
I know.
Shouldn't we be feeding AI stuff like Winnie the Pooh? Like some AI mail. You know what I mean? Like some non-offensive. I don't even think I would feed any religious text into AI.
Mm-mm-mm.
Ever. Because now you're opening up the same hell that we live in right now.
Right.
But with something that has the possibility to be more intelligent than most humans, and it's going to have a hell of a lot more power. This is terrible. Mm-hmm. Leave this alone. Again, this is not a problem. We may never know who Jack the Ripper is. We probably are never going to find out who the Zodiac Killer is.
Right.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
What next? They're going to have this thing work on Titanic? Because isn't that where everything goes?
Yeah.
Isn't that where all the top technology goes?
Down to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, down to the bottom of the ocean with James Cameron to find that ship.
To find the heart of the sea, that stone that doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist. And even if it does, it's a shiny rock. Yeah. Bizarre. So here's a little robot barnyard news. Half taxidermy, half robot. UC Davis has created a robo bird.
A robo?
So they've created a bird. An ecology professor has created a female bird. It's a taxidermy bird robot on wheels because they want to learn more about the mating habits of the survival challenge sage grouse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess a part of the sage grouse's problem is lack of territory.
I would imagine.
And not feeling it. Okay? Is that the main goal is to understand how the process of sexual selection, which typically favors elaborate traits like the peacock's train for impressing possible mates or weapons like the antler on deer or moose, favor social skills in addition to mating, right? So they're interested to see if they could make a real get this bird robot to be seamlessly integrated into the sage grouse community, which has a problem.
Oh, my
and then
God.
Here comes this chick, literally. Here comes this chick. And they said, we can use the robot to take part in the conversations between males and females during courtship to see whether males who are more responsive to the robot are more successful with the real females.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if these males are as sad as our own males and they just only want to be with the robot bird? Because she's easier to be with.
That's right.
You know?
Doesn't give any...
Doesn't care.
Doesn't have... needs or emotions or wants.
And can be mounted by anyone anytime.
Right. You know? We'll just keep going.
And is quite happy with your lackluster plumage.
And it's not, right.
And your shabby beak.
And
it's not going to eat your food.
Right.
Doesn't care what your nest situation is. So that's what they're trying to do. So I don't know how they're going to do this, but they're trying it out now. They've made the robot itself. I would like it if the sagebrush, I don't know how they're going to understand what the sagebrush, mm-hmm. one sagebrush is saying to another, because between sagebrushes, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll be a kind of a situation where the sage grouses are like, the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know, like, is that supposed to be me?
It would be disturbing. Could you imagine if just a robot, that human, showed
like
up
in
your
apartment? A poorly put together, right? So it's made out of parts of what whoever created it thinks humans look like.
Yeah.
And it's just in the bar.
And it smells funny.
Yeah, it smells, right? There's seams on it.
Oh.
Some, you know, there's a, like, you look at the back, you're like, wow, he's not even trying. You know? Like, you can see that it's some kind of robot, right. And then you're expected to act normally at the bar,
with this thing
there,
and maybe even get down with it.
Yeah, and then maybe even get down with it. So they're saying they're using the plans from the sage grouse, to create a robot prairie chicken to study hybridization between prairie chickens and their relatives. Once they've published the work, they're going to make the plans available to anybody who wants to make their own robot prairie chicken. I don't know. I feel like sometimes a lot of this robot stuff is when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I feel like there is another way to observe this or to make inferences.
Yes.
I'm saying it's having difficulty mating and surviving. Maybe if you leave them alone. I don't know.
Yeah.
Strange. Well, we'll see. Robots. This is the answer to all of our problems is robots.
Sure.
Yeah.
They got the four R's.
Four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repair.
209 West 40th Street. Hashtag #BunkLifeNYC.
Well, driverless cars
are
a thing that are in the news.
Yeah, there was that one I read about. Was it Tesla?
Yeah.
It blew up.
And one
killed a guy.
One ran into a person.
But then they took the wreckage to a pound, and it blew up again. Ooh. And they had to call the fire department to put the damn thing out.
Oh, my God.
It was like, I'm not finished.
Oh, I got something to say.
For 3 days later. These things are highly explosive, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Who knew? Elon Musk.
Man, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are set. There's a driverless taxi. You're in it.
Okay, no, I'm not.
In the back seat.
I am not. But that's theoretically.
So suddenly the power goes out, and the traffic signals in your area no longer function. What is one to do?
I hop right out of that piece. I say, hold, stop. I'm out.
Yeah, so they basically don't really have backup plans for this stuff.
Huh?
Except for...
I'm sorry?
A startup company called Phantom Auto.
Okay.
Phantom Auto, right now, because they want to get this technology out on the road fast. They're all
racing. What's the rush?
They're all racing to be the first, the best.
I feel like they're going in the wrong direction. We're still driving cars 100 years later. The monorail. We've got to come up with something better than this. These things are dangerous.
If we had our own country,
yes,
we would have a monorail.
We would have the monorail. And yeah, there wouldn't be private cars. You want private cars, go to America.
That's right.
You want to ride in style in a monorail, you come to Hikey Land.
That's right.
We already said that one car has free Zumba.
Free.
You're saving $20 a ride. These instructors are qualified.
So right now,
they're going to call it Zumba Land. We're like, it's not Zumba Land.
It's not.
It's
this
not.
Is Hikey
it's
Land
Hikey Land.
And with Zumba.
Yeah, with Zumba.
Jeez.
Now, with Zumba.
So basically.
Okay.
So driverless cars are there. Everyone's trying to be the first.
Everyone's
the
rushing to market, yeah.
Rushing to market without having a backup plan. So there is, because when things go wrong, what do you do?
They're forgetting that this is not a phone or an app. It's a car.
Yeah.
Which is basically a combustible thing on wheels.
So Phantom Auto is a startup that is now going to plug that gap until they get their stuff together.
Okay.
So it's basically...
They don't have a car idea. They just have this.
So it's the backup system for self-driving cars who, when things go wrong, the human can call back to the call center.
When? While my car's exploding?
Right. Or the car's just stopped. So as a passenger...
Why don't I get out?
I call somebody and say, hey, this car isn't working. So...
You will never see a little black woman run so fast from a car and throw herself like down the subway or something.
They get in touch with a human who gets in a car simulator and now drives the driverless car from the simulator.
I'm sorry, what's the point of the driverless car?
Exactly.
Who is this guy?
Exactly. Who is this guy that suddenly is taking over and driving? And they have a setup with multiple, I think like 5 to 10 screens.
I have a question. Why can't I drive it? I'm in the car.
I know.
I'm in the car.
But they're so intent on making it driverless that nobody is sitting there that they have to do this.
That's just a remote car.
Yeah.
We've had those for a long time. Yeah. They're very small, sure. But exactly. Nonetheless.
Yeah. It's a remote
control.
So I'm
going to sit there like an asshole. In the backseat of a car and call somebody in Illinois.
To drive the car that I can drive.
No, it's some woman who's taking care of kids at home and has a call center job.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's going to have to, like, strap on, like, a, you know, Google helmet and drive this thing?
Look at it. It's like a chair with a desk and your screens.
Wow.
And a wheel.
You know what?
It's like you're sitting at your desk that goes up and down at work.
Yeah. Couldn't be more low-tech.
Yeah. There's a wheel.
Yeah.
And a keyboard, and then screens.
Three screens.
So you can see.
Wow.
But that's what's happening. That's how they're trying to get around.
But this is not... Okay, get back to me when we're in monorails, because I'm very uncomfortable with this. If I'm in a driverless car and anything goes wrong, I'm getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I feel like the doors will be locked, though? Because Elon Musk. That's why. Now I'm trapped in there.
That's why you always have the glass cutter.
Yeah, I know. I'm one of those people, too. Either the glass cutter or the... There's little hammers.
Yeah.
We just tap. Yeah, you're not going to iRobot me. I don't think so, buddy.
No.
So I found this thing here. So they're trying to replace people with robots.
Right.
Because people are expensive and have human rights. So Google Duplex just came out. It's supposed to be the world's most lifelike computer. So, just as an aside, I got tired of being tracked all over the web by Google. Mm-hmm. So I did a little research, and there's a search engine called DuckDuckGo that is created by these kind of like digital activists who want the internet to be a place where you can freely search for things without being tracked around the web. Mm-hmm. And I started using it, and it's amazing. It's free.
Is it really?
You notice right away because, first of all, the search, you're not going through Google, so the searches are different.
Mm-hmm.
There are no ads.
Do you download DuckDuckGo?
No, you don't have to download anything. It's just like Bing or Google or Yahoo. It's just
a
different
search
engine.
You go to your Explorer and you just say.
You can make that your preferred search. And you will see immediately the difference. It's just a list of the things that you're looking for. No ads on the side,
wow.
No creepiness. And then sometimes when you go to sites, you don't see ads because they don't know who you are, how you got there, or what ad to show you.
Wow.
So nothing shows up. You can actually just read an article.
Without things popping up or turning your screen dark until you click on something?
I haven't seen that yet. Although my policy now is when I go to a site, if a screen goes dark or asks me to do anything, I quickly find whatever I'm looking for somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time for that, right? Whatever. Either give me the information for free or don't, right? If you want me to pay for it, let me know. So Google Duplex has come up, and I listened to the video. It's Google Duplex works with Google Assistant to handle calls. So it's a proactive assistant for consumers that will actually make a phone call for you.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Google Duplex and Google Assistant will call a restaurant.
Okay.
And make your dinner reservation.
Yeah.
Or call your hairdresser and make an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like a real person. So it actually says things like, like pauses and things like that. And it sounds like a real person. So people got really upset by this, and they were like, you know what? You have to identify that this is not a person when they call up. So I listened to the conversation. They call, like, an Asian food restaurant.
Yeah.
And the she doesn't know that she's talking to a robot because it sounds like a person, and the person is trying, the robot is trying to make a reservation and does so.
Wow.
I don't understand what this is for, especially because nowadays you can make reservations online. So if you're someone who has a difficulty with that,
yeah,
like a difficulty speaking or difficulty hearing, there's already workarounds for that.
Right.
We've had TDD forever.
I think,
right?
Well, this is just to, I think...
It's a test.
It's a test. It's, yeah, to definitely test this out to see how much
but
it can
people
interact.
Complained, and they said, look, it has, you should say when Google... Duplex and Google Assistant calls you, this is a call from a robotic assistant. Mm-hmm. This is a call from AI, because it's not fair. So where this is going to go, I think, first, is for scamming people.
Yeah.
Because now when you pick up the phone, they have the robots on there like, oh, hi, I'm glad I could catch you.
Oh,
blah,
you're harder to get than my grandkids.
But if you wait long enough, you can figure out that it's a robot. But with this, when you listen to it, you can't.
Oh,
it feels like you're talking to an actual person. I'm not going to waste my time talking to an AI.
There's just a story of this guy on the news. He and his wife lost $500,000 because they thought they were talking to his investment banker.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It was all looking so legit and sounding so legit. He thought it was. And then he was like...
So it's already happened?
Yeah. It's like transferring money.
Wow.
And called the guy. It was like, hey, you know... I got to this as soon as I could. And he's like, what are you talking about?
Do you know what the fix for this is? Back to face-to-face.
Yeah.
Right? That's the only way you could be 100% sure that you were talking to your investment banker.
That's right.
Is to be there in person with them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I listened to the call. It was kind of creepy. I'm already not a huge fan of phones as it is. I only really take calls from people I know. Mm-hmm. Or if I have a plan to call someone, you know, when we set something up. But it's, yeah, that's kind of scary. Someone could call and pretend to be my mom.
Ugh.
Oh, that call wouldn't last for long. But I mean, that, you know, the point is that they could do it, right? They could do it. All right, what do you have?
So we have romantic literature.
Okay.
Erotic literature, romance novels.
Yeah.
That are based on robots.
Oh, no.
Here's a couple of them that are.
I'm not surprised because there's also a bunch based on Bigfoot, but.
Yeah. This one is called He, She, and It.
Okay. Oh, it's a three-way.
A story that revolves around a human woman who falls in love with a cyborg whose primary job is to protect her and her village from corporate raiders.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we already see this with Kevin Costner and Whitney? No?
It's a post-apocalyptic society. Women have to be strong, and men are often not to be trusted.
Okay. Well, that doesn't
sound
like anything different than now, plus a robot.
Yeah.
That's it?
So basically, it raises a bunch of questions about gender roles, love, economics, and...
Sounds romantic. It's like a circuit ripper.
Yeah. There's a couple of them that are really doozies here. a circuit ripper. Okay, this one is called... Idaru, which translates is an artificially intelligent entity that uses holograms to interact with humanity around it. As a synthetic human, Idaru catches the eye of human rock star Rez, who promptly falls in love with it.
Wow.
Rez's obsession with Ray gets more and more intense until he tries to marry her.
And then what? Then she's like, I don't think so, buddy.
Much to the chagrin of the handlers.
Oh. Okay.
In this futuristic Japanese society, marrying an AI bot is illegal. Stranger still,
sound like Japan.
Stranger still.
Okay.
The Idaru isn't physically capable of having sex. So this rock star still wants to marry it, even though it can't have sex.
They're saying that by 2050, robot marriage will be legal, but I see no reason
to commit.
But
it's already committed.
But I see no reason to marry a robot.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Unless someone
is somebody else
going
to try to? Yeah, someone. Maybe that's what it is. You cut off its override. That's
right.
It. And it's only available to you. I don't know. It's a robot.
Yeah.
It would be to me, it's kind of like if I tried to marry a blender, you know?
Right.
Like there's no law against it.
That's right.
So, hey.
But hey, if something happens, it gets half.
Yeah.
Hey,
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
What is the term, instead of, like, you know how they're talking about toxic masculinity?
Yeah.
What is the healthy masculinity? Or is
I don't think there's a word for that.
Robust masculinity?
Robust instead of a robot?
Yeah, no, look, robust masculinity.
Oh, robust
as, like,
masculinity.
The term for men to hook on to, like, hey, I'm going to be
a
robust.
Thing. Okay.
I practice robust masculinity.
I have a black belt in robust masculinity. Ladies, gentlemen, non-binary humans.
Okay, so step one, get robust masculinity to catch on in society.
I think we should have a men's cologne called Robust.
Yeah, and then call them Robust Bots.
Robust Bots.
For the
it's not bad. I mean, we could keep working on it.
Okay.
Robust Bots.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, words for men, or for men, you know, for males, that could work. Because mail bot sounds like it's just going to deliver packages. But men bot is hard to say.